Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate. Our return guest is here with us this morning, Dr. Donna Bakke. Good morning, Dr. Bakke.
Good morning.
She's joined us before to talk about public health issues, stop smoking campaigns, promoting health, improving babies' birth weight, other topics that regard public health in general, and that's actually a good introduction for this morning's topic, isn't it?
Yes.
We're here to talk about a new program coming to Central New York, and you know, I look at this and think, oh my gosh, I can't believe it hasn't been here before. Tell us what your new program is.
Well, we're offering a graduate program called a Master's in Public Health, and it's really exciting because it's a joint program between Syracuse University and Upstate, and it's really going to be able to allow people in this region who really want to get a graduate degree in public health to get one. Nothing's been available to them before this.
Which is just amazing to me, and that's actually part of the story this morning. You know, I see those initials, MPH, so that's Masters of Public Health. I see them after the names of all kinds of healthcare professionals, everyone from doctors, people who write about healthcare, nurses. I mean, there are many people who pursue an MPH, aren't there?
Yes, it really appeals to a wide variety of people, and not just people in healthcare, because what a public health degree enables you to do is really look at the broad picture of health and look at and really look at the community as a person almost and look at what's in that community and how we can do things to improve it.
I think that's a great concept, the community as person, and that really is what public health is. So let's talk about what some of those issues are that you cover in public health. What I know you've been here talking before about the Stop Smoking campaigns, but there are really dozens, aren't there?
Yes, there really are. And if you really look back in history, some of the greatest improvements in health have been done through public health. Things like the water supply, improving the cleanliness of the water supply, improving the air in indoor buildings so people don't get sick, making sure that people use masks, you know, when they have a disease that they can spread. Things like that really have been significantly improve the health of a population just by simple things like that. And you said it, making indoor air clean by not having people smoke inside.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because we tend to think of healthcare in terms of the individual. And as you said, it's sort of like the public is the individual. But let's talk about why public health is important to the individual because we're addressing the community. How is it that that works?
Well, if you think about it, you know, if a person comes into my office as a practicing physician, I can talk to them about their individual blood pressure or their individual diabetes, and I may be able to help that one person. But if I can do something to educate the whole community, people who may not even know that they have it, but who could do things to simply change their lives, like eating better, exercising a little, where it may prevent them from getting high blood pressure or diabetes, then that's really going to be an improvement for the whole community. And if you're looking at the cost of health care, it should decrease the cost of health care because you'll have people who are healthier not having to take medications, not having to go to the doctor as frequently.
Absolutely. There are actually a couple of points from all of that. First of all, I look at public health, as I understand it, as being the greater good for the common good, so that when we address these pictures from the big picture, it almost trickles down to the individual from the big picture. Do
you
look at it the same way?
Yes, okay. It does.
And then I also look at it as if you fix the problems of a large group, then the individual doesn't have the problems as an individual.
Yes.
And so, say the Stop Smoking campaigns where we aim at teenagers. If we can stop teenagers from starting to smoke, then we, as taxpayers, won't be paying to get that teenager to stop or for the ills that come later on in life.
Yes, and I think an example that one of the things that really made me interested in public health is when I was in Texas, and when I was practicing, I would notice that these areas where a lot of poor people lived didn't have sewers, and every time it rained, the kids would come in with all of these infections, diarrhea, they were sick, and I could treat them and get them better, but the next time it rained, they would get sick again. The solution was really to put sewers in the colonias. And that eventually happened. And so now you really have a large community of people who are no longer getting sick.
Which is just fabulous. I mean, I just think that's great. And now we're going to have this opportunity for people in Syracuse to study these kinds of issues. And we'll have that many more who can find solutions. So let's talk specifically about your program so that people can maybe look at making application for it. I love that it's a combination between SU and Upstate. Is that a first?
It really is. It's, as far as we know, it's the first public-private Master of Public Health program in the nation.
Really?
And it really brings the benefits of both institutions. We have the health expertise. At Maxwell, you have the public policy and public administration expertise, and at the Human Ecology College, you have more the social and behavioral determinants of public health expertise. So it really brings the benefits of both universities together, and I think it will benefit the students greatly.
Well, I have to think, too, then what you'll do is you'll be attracting people to come to Syracuse to do this study that wouldn't have been in Syracuse necessarily to do it before.
That's correct.
There are programs in other cities in Syracuse.
Yes. The closest ones are Albany and Rochester. So really, we're going to be able to allow people from the surrounding areas to Syracuse who couldn't otherwise travel to Albany or Rochester to get this degree to come here and get it.
Right. But then you're also going to be a destination for those who love this idea of the public and private combination.
Yes.
Which is fabulous, because then the teachers of the various courses will come from both colleges
as
well.
Yes, they will.
That's great. What kinds of courses are those going to be?
Well, you have, in the public health degree, it's 42 credit hours, and you have 27 of them are mandatory. And they're things like epidemiology, biostatistics, public health administration. And then you have a variety of courses that we're offering either at both institutions. So we have ones that are more geared toward epidemiology and advanced biostatistics, looking at chronic diseases.
Mm-hmm.
From the SU side, Maxwell, they'll be able to take, if they're a public health administrator or someone who's in a health department and wants to become an administrator, they can take courses at the Maxwell School that will allow them to do that.
Excellent.
At the state tuition price.
Excellent. So this really is a career move
it
for
is.
People who want to look at this. What kinds of careers? You mentioned that they might go into administration. Of course, some of them are doctors already, and they're just interested.
Right. You have healthcare professionals who are already out in the field, so mm-hmm. people who are working in health departments, health educators, social workers, nurses, doctors, who want to get the more broad-based knowledge an MPH degree will give them. You have students coming right out of college mm-hmm. who are health-oriented but don't necessarily want to go into an individual healthcare field and want to look at this. But you also have people who are in administration
mm-hmm.
who are aspiring to become, public health administrators or are already there but work their way up and don't have the credentials and really want to really get that information.
And what about people like policymakers? You know, particularly this time of the year, we hear so much about healthcare reform because we're talking about elections and we've just had elections. And so we're looking now at healthcare reform and how we're going to evolve our system. Is that the kind of thing you would use an MPH
yes,
for?
Yes, yes, very much. Because what you do with the MPH is you look at, you know, what are the issues that are not correct or wrong with the healthcare system in a broad way, and how can we put systems in place to improve that?
And that's something. They aren't necessarily health answers, are they? They are money answers, and they are business answers.
And if you want to go into public policy, this mm-hmm. really is a great degree because it really gives you that broad basis in healthcare to kind of draw from to understand where you might be able to make decisions.
You know, it almost seems to me, I was a teacher in my first career, and as a teacher, I was required to get many hours past my bachelor's degree, and I eventually did earn a master's degree. It almost sounds like we should be requiring people in healthcare who want to be at a certain level to get this master's degree.
Well, you know, they're considering, particularly in health departments, we're looking at now, there's now a licensing exam in mm-hmm. public health. This is the first year they offered that. So eventually it may come, just like you have nurses, social workers, doctors, that there may be a licensing exam if you want to work in public health. And really, having that knowledge up front before you go into it really helps. I think on-the-job training is great, but having some of this knowledge before you actually go do the job really enables you to benefit more and enables the people you work with to benefit more.
What kinds of requirements do you have for admission to the program?
Really, the only requirement is that you have to have one biology course.
Okay.
Other than that, you can come from any field.
You can.
If you're coming straight out of college, most of them will come from some health-related field. But you can come from any field as long as you have that biology course. You need to take the GREs, or the graduate record exam.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a healthcare professional that's been out in practice, we will waive that after we review your medical school transcript and if you want to send your LSATs, you know, if you're going to law school, lawyers are another one who might be interested. We have a number of law students who are interested in this. Or, you know, the other exams you take to get into some of the other professional schools.
If you haven't taken one of those GREs or something like that in a very long time. I look at something like this and it's very interesting to me, and I've thought about getting an MPH before, and then I think, oh my gosh, I don't think I could do the science.
You know, there really is not that much science involved. It's as long as you have that basic fundamental by taking that one course, mm-hmm. you're really looking more at the impact mm-hmm. of what that science does rather than the science itself. So you're not going to be doing chemistry and biology. I mean, epidemiology really looks at, you know, how many people in a population have a certain disease and what does that mean for the population.
Right. So it's more about statistics right. and translation yes. than it yes. is about science. Okay, so there goes that excuse, right? Mm-hmm. All right, you said 42 credit hours. How long does that take?
Well, if you're doing it full time, and we're going to be offering the majority of the courses in late afternoon, mm-hmm. like 4 o'clock.
For people who are working,
because we think a lot of people who are working will want to do this part time. But if there was somebody who wanted to do it full time, they could do it in as early as 18 months. Part-time, anywhere between 3 and 5 years, depending on how many courses you take.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we have a website, upstate.edu/CNYMPH, Central New York, Masters of Public Health. That was easy. And people can send an email if they have more information?
Yes. CNYMPH@upstate.edu.
Okay, excellent. We will put links to all of that from our HealthLink On Air website. And Dr. Donna Bakke, and you're the director of the program, so we've gone right to the person with all the information. Thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
We hope we have lots of students enrolling. I think it would be terrifically helpful.
And if anybody has any questions, we are going to have an informational session on November 17th from 4 to 6 in the afternoon here.
Oh, you are. Very good.
At Upstate. So okay. If anyone, they could look on the website to get that information.
Excellent. And we will put it on our HealthLink On Air calendar. Thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thank you.
Listeners, we need to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.